It's 11 o'clock in the city of Portland, City of Roses. You're listening to KXRY Portland 91.1 FM and streaming live at xray.fm. Coming up next will be Help Wanted with Shane Torres. Shane's guest today will be Stephen Wilbur.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Colorful work history.
Who's the worst boss you've had?
That's insane. Like, you could have been killed.
You have no transferable skills whatsoever.
Help wanted.
Ripping guitar. Oh, God.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to Help Wanted on X-Ray FM. I'm your host, Shane Torres, and this is the show where I interview creative types, comedians, actors, musicians, mostly comedians because I don't know anyone else, about the terrible day jobs they've had to endure. And this week, we have a very special guest. Recently crowned Portland's funniest person as of last night. Not even 24 hours old yet.
Yeah.
Mr. Stephen Wilbur is here.
It's great to be here. First time caller, long time listener.
Before we get rolling with the show, you will please tell everyone where to find you on Twitter, on the internet, all your stuff.
Yeah, you can find me at Shane Torres on Twitter.
I hate you. We'll get into that. We're definitely going to get into that.
Probably the worst day job I've ever had.
Keep going. Where can they really find you?
It's Wilbur with an E. At Wilbur with an E.
Okay.
So you spell it Wilbur, and you use an E when you spell it, and then you also spell out with an E. It's better visual. It looks better.
Yeah. Well,
looking at a
considering
monitor.
That's how most social media works, it's pretty... where do they follow you on Vine? You're big on Vine.
I think you can just... I don't know how Vine works. I think you can either search Wilbur with an E or Stephen Wilbur, and it'll come up.
Okay, great. That works. Awesome. Yeah. Compelling.
It might work. I don't
But
know.
you Vine a lot, though.
Not so much lately, but yeah, I've been known to...
You have quite a following on there. How many followers do you have?
It's like 24,000.
It's disgusting. 24,000 followers. Oh, God, you're going to do so much better. Well, thank you for being here. For those of you who don't know the show, I interview these people. And, Stephen, let's just get into it. What was your first job?
My first job, like real job, the one where you got to sign tax paper.
Did you have stuff before that? Like babysitting or yard work?
Yeah, that crap like that.
Yeah, if you don't have anything great about that, then let's give it.
The first place I worked at was a place in my hometown, Pomeroy, Washington.
Small town.
Yep.
How many people live there?
1,400.
You could definitely make the paper there after winning.
I don't know. I think it might be too taboo.
I'm going to email the Pomeroy. The Pomeroy. What do you think the Pomeroy paper is? The Pomeroy paper. It might be the Pomeroy paper.
It's called the East Washingtonian.
That's like all of Eastern Washington. You might be the most famous person from Pomeroy.
I think some sort of Olympian.
Oh, okay. Maybe not.
I'm not sure,
if there was an Olympian, you're not.
Maybe an Olympian.
Maybe.
Olympic qualifier. I don't know.
Yeah. Olympic qualifier.
The first job was at a place called Planetary Pizza and Laundromat. Oh, I think it was Planetary Pizza and Ye Old Washboard Laundromat.
What's this, at a Renaissance fair in the middle of an Italian neighborhood? Planetary Pizza.
It was just a pizza restaurant, and then it was connected to a laundromat.
And you did jobs at both?
Yeah, it was owned by the same people connecting wall and stuff.
That's kind of a weird little business for a town like that.
Yeah, and it didn't, well,
I mean, you usually see those kind of things in like Austin or San Francisco or like one of those kind of like.
It wasn't playing on the quirkiness of it was just like, the two. It no. was like, because like we had a pharmacy that was also a Radio Shack. You know, like,
yeah, okay, yeah, it was, yeah, okay, it was like, we have these many buildings, and we have to get all of these necessary things in them.
But, yeah, we also sold compact discs.
Sold CDs.
That's great.
Yeah. That's awesome, isn't it?
Oh, we gotta, and we gotta, Harlequin novels.
Are you serious?
Yes, what? There was a wall of Harlequin novels.
Were they just CDs of those novels, like books on tape? Like,
no,
that
they
been...
were weird. My dad also worked there.
Okay.
And it was also...
Stephen Wilbur Sr.?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was also a... there was a deal with Planetary Pizza and Laundromat. And like the social card? Service office.
What?
So we had a lot of like... And I guess maybe myself. I don't know. I was too afraid to ask. But we would, you'd get mentally disabled people working and stuff like that.
At the laundromat and at the
underprivileged people and stuff like that.
Well, that's a good. That's there, a really good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And me and my dad worked there as well.
Yeah, so yeah. But so one guy owned both these places, or one family, or one.
Lady? Yeah, just this couple owned the place, and it was like you could. Easily walk into the laundromat part from there.
Yeah. I guess so. This is definitely the kind of town, like the kind of place where, like, oh, if you're like, I'm going to the pizza place, it was, they knew exactly where you were. Like,
well,
you could
it was
be
the
that.
Only pizza place.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the only laundromat. It was the only,
mm-hmm.
yeah. It wasn't called like Suds and Slices or anything.
Nope.
No. Well, that seems like it would have been,
yeah.
I'll stop there next time I'm in Pomeroy. I won't ever go to Pomeroy.
My, dad had an idea to bring in business. He had a he had this Flying V guitar, and he forged legendary guitarist Buddy Guy's autograph
no he didn't.
On it, and he hung it above the CD case. Not for sale or anything,
just like
look at this piece of Americana.
Who played that? It's a flying. It's like a flying. It's like the least guitar he would have played. Well, it could have been better if it was like a euphonium or some kind of terrible instrument.
Just one of those guitars that looks like the M in Metallica.
Yeah, it's just says Kurt Cobain on it or something. How long did you work there?
Oh, like a summer. It was the summer. After graduation.
Oh, you didn't work till after high school, really?
Well, like little jobs, like.
Like you were saying, like you did little kind of.
Yeah, I used to
jobs and stuff.
I would like.
But you weren't. I guess you weren't employed. Is what I mean to say. Really?
Yeah, it was the first one that I interviewed for. I had to fill out the tax paperwork and stuff.
So after graduation, what happens?
I moved to college.
Where'd you go?
Eastern Washington University, Spokane. Washington.
Oh, I've been there. That's all right.
Done comedy there?
I went to the university to, it's not important.
Mm-hmm.
But were you working when you were in college?
Yeah, I worked, for a while I worked at the food services, like the food court the college.
Were you on scholarship or something? Were you like a...
No.
Were you like a poor kid from a small town?
This poor kid, yeah.
Trying to do well?
Yeah. But, I was a fry cook for a little bit.
Yeah.
Couple quarters.
How'd that treat you?
I didn't like smelling like
it's
meat.
It's the worst. It's really gross, right?
I didn't think that was something that would happen, but it clearly does. Yeah, and it makes sense that it would happen, but it was
like,
not me. I always said, not me.
I'm never going to be like that guy.
I'm not going to reek of dead animal.
Yeah. And I had various fast food jobs, and that was always the worst part, was like getting off work and you're like, I'm going to go hang out with my friends, but having to go shower and clean up. Like, it's like your job's not over for another hour until you scrub all the dead meat smell off of you. So when you were there, was this part of like your schooling? Like, Did you have a scholarship? I guess did you have to work there?
It was part of the financial aid package. Was I had to work on campus for a little bit.
Is it mostly other kids like in the same situation as you?
It was all students.
Anybody wanted to do a good job there? Like, it's just at those jobs, to me, there's always like the person who wants to do really.
Yeah, there
well,
was no like, one like right away, Mr. Schaefer.
Yeah, like, yeah, like, yeah. That one's like I'm number two. Like,
I separated all these frozen potatoes, like you said.
Yeah, like, I suppose you're all students going to college, so you know you're like you're not trying to build a career at the food court.
You just have to do it as per your work study.
Yeah. What were you majoring in?
When I started, I was going to be a computer science major. That didn't last very long. But I went for film and art.
Ah.
It was a combination of both.
Did you finish?
Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. And so after college, you...
After college, I started working in... I studied in film. I started working with a local film production company in Spokane.
Okay.
And did a couple of movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Anything anybody would know?
No. What? A couple of there was a movie called Frank about a lovable dog that had Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite in it.
Okay.
There was a movie called Dog Gone about a lovable dog.
Is this just a film company that makes dog like movies about dogs?
They make a few,
if that,
but it's
like
not.
I don't think it doesn't sound like a film company right now.
What's your definition of cinema?
I guess that's a good point. Don't get all art for me.
And that one had like French Stewart.
Are you serious?
And Garrett Morris. I met Garrett Morris.
Garrett Morris. Who's Garrett Morris?
One of the original. Not ready for primetime players at Saturday Night Live.
Oh, Garrett Morris. Garrett Morris. Mm-hmm. Of course I knew that. Wow, you met Garrett Morris?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
He was part of the original cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be a weird thing to see Garrett Morris walking around Spokane, Washington.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, people are like, why is he...
Especially, like, he, you know...
Because he's kind of a nondescript person in some ways.
Yeah, and he's not like a movie star or anything.
Yeah.
He's just... He's doing movies about dogs, lovable dogs with diamonds in their belly.
That's what that movie was about.
It was about...
Tell me about this
It
movie.
Was about a group of criminals who... One of them was... French Stewart was the ringleader. And then there was one of Chris Farley's brothers.
Kevin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was one of the bad guys. And then his other brother... was also in the movie as like the dad, but these band of
like,
criminals.
Why do these criminals look so much like my father?
Why do they love physical comedy so much?
What was French Stewart? It was Third Rock from the Sun. Mm-hmm. That was him. Yeah, okay.
But they were criminals who hid a.
That's just like a not a.
They great. Hid diamonds inside a dog.
Okay,
they and hid then the dog got away.
Usually, the dog eats diamonds, or like you know, like usually like that's how it happens. And movies, stupid movies like that. Like,
yeah, yeah, they were like, oh, the dog! No.
Now get me that Pomeranian! Yeah.
They were smuggling diamonds
in
through
Spokane.
The dog. And then the dog got out and
they had to
befriended a young boy. And then it becomes...
Were you the young boy?
No, I worked on it. I didn't. I wasn't in the movie.
Okay, but so you're there. What were you doing on set? Were you filming, or like, what were you doing?
I was like a production assistant, so like, I was doing lots of things, like, yeah, running
coffee
stuff, and driving people around. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Any juicy stories about French Stewart? No one's ever asked that question. No one wants to know about French Stewart.
He was married at the time to Dennis Hopper's ex-wife.
What?
And
are you serious?
So he was stepfather. He was stepfather to Dennis Hopper's child. How do you parent
Dennis Hopper's child? That's a good point. Yeah.
Like, and to also have the same job as his father, essentially, but not.
But less.
But yeah, way, way, way less. What are you going to tell me? Like, because that's an interesting.
You're not my real father.
Yeah. And he says that and he's like, right, Harvey Keitel's son?
There's a little Harvey Keitel.
Oh. But like, the cosmic justice of that is like, that usually the stepfather is the one who like is like a former professional football player or something. Yeah. And the dad is just like living in a studio apartment in Spokane. But French Stewart. How do you go from Dennis Hopper to French Stewart? Man, that's a bad swing.
He's funny.
You like French Stewart.
He was really nice.
I'm sure he was. He has to be.
Real name, Milton.
Stewart?
I think it's Milton French Stewart.
Oh, so it's not that he goes by his middle name.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's better. That's actually a pretty good name. MFS, Milton French Stewart. That's not bad. So I'm curious, how does this movie resolve itself and who played the little boy?
Some little boy played the little boy.
Sherry O'Terry's nephew or something.
They keep the dog. The bad guys get theirs. They get their comeuppance and they keep the dog. The boy keeps the dog. I think that's how it goes.
And this was
and Garrett Morris was a dog catcher. Ain't it?
And he's not a good guy or a bad guy. He's just a person.
He's just doing his job.
Yeah. Garrett Moore's just doing his job. Well, what was it called again?
Dog Gone.
Dog Gone. Wow.
Like Dog Gone. Yeah. Like the dog is gone.
Yeah. With you. I think that everybody's got. So I think people will be able to piece that one together. So who was in the other movie about dogs?
Well, there's Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. I didn't work on that one for very long.
Mm.
I worked on a movie with Dave Coulier.
Really?
Yeah.
Christian comedian Dave Coulier?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The guy who hurt Alanis Morissette so badly.
Is that really about him?
It's gotta be.
I don't think it's about him.
It's about
him. Who would ever care that much about Dave Coulier? Exactly. I'm right.
Well...
Yeah, come on, you really don't think it was him?
I think it was him.
Why would it be Dave Coulier?
Why not? Why can't it be? He's a person. He's a person with feelings who gets angry just because he's lovable Joey on the ABC television sitcom
Full
House.
Is that ABC?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, man. Like, it can't be. That seems ridiculous that... I heard it was about Ryan Reynolds.
That doesn't even
and that
sense.
Makes way more sense. That makes way more sense.
Ryan Reynolds when
that
song came out?
He's not that young.
Is he 40?
Yeah, she's probably close to her age.
All right.
Yeah. You know he runs a Christian comedians tour?
I didn't know it was Christian. I thought he was just clean.
No. I researched it. He is a clean comic.
Mm-hmm.
But Candace Bergen, that played DJ.
Candace Cameron.
Who's Candace Bergen? I'm thinking Murphy Brown. What movie was she in Spokane?
Doggone 2.
Doggone 2. Hot Doggone 2.
Where'd all these hot dogs go?
They had all our diamonds and hot dogs. Yeah, they do a Christian comedian, or they did as a few years ago. Last time I checked, but like she's the feature act.
Oh, wow!
Do you know if he was religious when he was on that show?
He wasn't religious working on that movie.
Really?
Like he was.
Tell me more. I want gossip.
I mean, he wasn't like a huge potty mouth, but
he would swear a fair amount, and
he would drink and stuff. Wow. He called. I was wearing a fluffy hat.
This is what 8 years ago or so.
Yeah, he called me gay because of my fluffy hat.
Why were you wearing a fluffy hat?
It was cold.
Well, so it was serving a purpose. It wasn't.
Yeah, it was winter.
It wasn't. You're not really an eccentric.
Like as far as your clothes.
No, it was just like a puffy with the ear flaps.
Okay, hat. Okay. I thought it was like
not like a Jamiroquai hat.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
that's
anything.
What I thought you were going with. So you work at this film production company. Mm-hmm. You do a couple of films. Did you enjoy it? Is it interesting or is it like, are you just around in the work you want to do?
It's hard because I don't know if it's, I don't have the frame of reference. If it's the industry in general, I have a suspicion that it is, or if it was just the practices of this production company. But it wasn't fun. It wasn't. I mean, it's hard, long days.
Yeah, I imagine the hours are pretty.
But it was just. It wasn't like a. It wasn't ever a positive workplace.
Oh, really?
It wasn't people like, we're making magic happen. Clearly, they weren't. They were making movies that would go exclusively to Walmart.
Or Planetary Pizza.
When they get
that DVD game.
So, it was really, it wasn't like an art. It wasn't about artists or anything. It was just people doing a job. But there was like a lot of crappy politics and just a lot of back talking and
so it was like these people who were like more obviously it started in some position similar to you, like it either like gone to film
wide eyed
and then they're just like they're just
I'm
start,
gonna be Coppola
they get what they want and they just kind of their dream is slowly crushing them. He's like I like the idea of like one guy there being just like really proud of it, all the work you guys are doing. Like, he's very into, like, he's just like, he's like, Steven, get over here. I got Dave Coulier over here, and he doesn't have a bottle of water. Or, like, I like one guy thinking it's a way bigger deal than it is. Dave Coulier.
He's got a megaphone.
Yeah. he just, like, walks into a busy restaurant, just expects a table. He's the Bob Evans of Spokane. So you're there, and how long? And you do that for how long?
That was probably like 6 months or so.
So not very long at all.
No. No.
And then after that, what do? You're still hanging out in Spokane?
Moved to this area, the Portland area. Lived in Battleground, Washington.
Okay.
For a little while. There I was, and this was for like 6 months as well, a janitor at a Christian elementary school.
You had to have some wonderful stories about this. Any story?
No, like not
nothing
sexy stories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, oh, did I say? I did kind of say it. Tell me more about Dave Coulier. Doggone.
No, it was a fine job. You know, you'd go in late at night and just clean up the place. The biggest problem of custodial work, and especially when you're when it's like a place that is high kid traffic, that you go in the middle of the night, you scrub it up real good, and look at it, and it's all sparkly, and you're like, yep. Look what I did today.
Doggone, look what I did.
And then you come in the next day and there's poop on the ceiling.
It's just like, and everything smells like old Cheerios and stuff.
Yeah.
I was a janitor for a little bit too at a post office.
Oh.
And that was terrible. That was not fun. I remember because it's owned by the government, why would there be any upkeep on it at all? But I used to have to go around and like clean it and just kind of like after hour, like it would close. Same, probably like you would go in at like what, 6 or 7 o'clock or something like that, probably?
Probably like 11.
Oh, yeah. So I would go in like 6 or 7, clean it up, and then go to my other job and wait tables. But this was like the worst part. It was like I was there, and this is back in my hometown, Fort Worth, Texas. I was there, and there was always one other guy that was always there. His name was Rudy, and he was just like this like old guy who was in the Army. And he was like not old, but like in probably late 40s, early 50s. And he was just like, obviously, like, I'm a postal worker. This is what I do now. I have to feed my kids. Like, he's real grumpy. And there was a tornado coming through downtown Fort Worth where the post office was. And I was like, oh, no. And I had to...
I was like, it came through, and it literally, like, we got into this. They had, like, a parcels cage for, like, I guess for, like, stuff that was over, that was insured for over a certain amount of money or stuff like that. And we got in it because it had a top so nothing would fall on our heads if something happened. And we get in there, and I got in there. I was like, oh, this is awful. Because there's all these boxes stacked really high, so they're still probably going to fall on them.
Was this just you and Rudy?
Yeah, and I was afraid I was going to die. But
for
this...
the night.
No. For the... do you know, like, tornadoes are just like...
But, like, tornado watch.
No.
Right? Or tornado
alert. This was a tornado. It was a warning. Like, it was like, you get tornado watches all the time in Texas. And I was like, I'm going to die in here with Rudy. Like, just so bummed out. And this guy... there was, like, right when the tornado was coming, we ran for cover, this guy started banging on the back door, and it was hit, this guy and this woman, and they were, like, at this bar called the Barfly across the street, and they were just drunk, and he still had a scotch in his hand, and he was like, hey, what's going on? Can we hang in? And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, total, like, Texas douche dad guy, like press dress shirt, open down to the middle of his chest in between his pecs, like... You know, rings, just like a real tool.
And that's how, that's the number of buttons that were unbuttoned when he left the house.
Yeah, he came out ready to party. But they were like, can we hide in here with you guys? Or can we come in with you guys? And Rudy was like, yeah, but you got to throw out your drinks. It's like he made them throw out their drinks. I was like, you're such a douche. But they get in there. Tornado rolls over, passes. The bar across the street is demolished. Like when I go outside. There's like, it's just not, it's just rubble.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's nobody in it. Everybody else had left. But he got a call on his phone and he's like, oh, it's my wife. And we were like, oh, dude, you're such a scumbag. You should have been with your wife when things like this happened, not with this lady. She seemed nice. She was sweet. Yeah. But and I was like looking around, there was just garbage everywhere in the middle of the parking lot, and I was like, I'm not cleaning this up. I just quit right then. So you got in there at the Christian school, and you are a janitor in Battleground, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Was it everything you dreamed it would be?
And more.
How'd you get that job?
My girlfriend at the time, her mother was like the principal.
The one I'm...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. What happened to her? What happened to her?
She's around.
Oh, I just haven't seen her. Did she move out?
She moved away.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why I haven't seen her. Like, usually, yeah. It's a small town that here. Like, you usually run into people every once in a while. That's why. Well, anyway, whatever. You're doing great now. You have a lovely girlfriend now.
Thank you, Shane.
You're welcome. I will be your girlfriend now.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, we're going to take a quick break. You listen to Help Wanted on X-Ray FM. I'm your host, Shane Torreson. We're here with Stephen Wilbur, and we will be right back.
Support for X-Ray FM comes from the Portland Mercury, who, along with Widmer Brothers Brewing, Jim Beam Kentucky Fire, and Nikki USA, present Portland Burger Week, August 11th to the 17th. More information and the list of participating restaurants available at portlandburgerweek.com.
If you're joining us just now, we're returning, and this is a Help Wanted on X-Ray FM, and I'm Shane Torres, your host, and I'm here with comedian Stephen Wilbur, winner of last night's Funniest Person in Portland contest. Congratulations again.
Mm-hmm.
Before the break, during the break, we were talking about how every comedian is going to do an impression of you now for the next year.
We weren't talking about that.
Well, that's what started with me.
No, it didn't. It didn't start with last year.
I'm sorry I'm so memorable as an
act.
Yeah,
that's a thing. That's a...
I'm not sorry about
it. Somebody was doing an impression of me, and I was, like, honored by it, because I never thought I had any sort of,
like... A script thing?
Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, like, who did the impression, and what was it?
It was Danny Feltz, and it was like a...
That's like putting white paint on top of white paint.
It was just sort of...
I don't know what that means, but it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds pretty good. Colloquialism to Shane Torres. Yeah. But he did a... What was the impression?
It was something like, just... Like, you talk really quiet. And then you get really loud.
That is a thing you do, but like that's not very descript. So, I'm sorry, back to the format of the show that we've avoided pretty well so far.
We've been talking about jobs this whole time.
No, we haven't.
Planetary pizza.
Suds and slices, that's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to think of alternative names for food court frying chicken or whatever you were doing there. And then before that, just to recap for the listeners that are just joining us, Steven worked at Planetary Pizza, which was a laundromat, pizza parlor, and CD sales shop. And then you went to college in Spokane, and you worked at a production company for films.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you moved down to Battleground, Washington. You work as a janitor in a Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens after that?
I moved to Portland.
Much better, isn't it?
Yeah, and then I got a job at a collection agency.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. For almost 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
That must have weighed on... How did that...
Well,
feel emotionally.
I didn't do the collections. I did for like the first 3 months.
Well, you're just like, I can't
and
do
then
this.
There was like a clerical job that opened up.
And you were like, absolutely.
And I was like, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
I was like, right. Oh, hey, I heard that lady was looking up used car prices on the internet when she's not supposed to do the zero tolerance. How about I do that job?
You didn't rat.
No.
Okay. God, I didn't think you would do that.
But no, the collection part, the whole job was a little draining on me. But the collection part was really bad, and it's hard because it's a place that.
So you would just call people,
mm-hmm.
and then they would tell you to go to hell, basically.
Yeah.
Do you have a particular call that?
Well, the thing was they specialize in medical debt. So it's not like somebody just welching out on their plasma TV.
Yeah,
or like something. It's people that had a bad thing happen to it
already.
And, you know, I wasn't financially planning for cancer.
That's one of the. Yeah, you can't just like you got to call. Hey, remember how we, saved your life?
Yeah,
like
pay up. But there was a. There was one person who accused me of being the Russian mob trying to con her.
Was she Russian?
No.
That would make a little more sense.
I've been reading maybe. About you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, I'm clearly not Russian, ma'am.
I am clearly not Russian.
I'm Ukrainian.
Yeah, you just like started. It'd be so funny, like if you were talking to her and everyone's like, "Ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. I am clearly not Russian, but I would really appreciate it if you could set up a payment." Like,
ma'am, I'd like you to think of me as, like your comrade. Okay, like,
look, let's just let's hash this out over a couple of pierogies. What do you say? Like, I don't know if that's Russian, but like, yeah, he's just like saying things the whole time. It's just like just feeding her paranoia. So one woman,
and there was just a lot of crying, a lot of people crying.
Yeah,
and
that would be the worst part. Like being told to like, piss off or whatever. I think at a job would be like, well, that sucks. But at that job, you would kind of. Expect it, a little like not expect it, but something could happen at the job.
Yeah,
yeah. But like the sad ones would probably bum me out the most.
I'm just not a phone guy anyway. I don't like talking to people ever, let alone on the phone. So
you're not a loquacious person.
Yeah.
So you're working there, and. You're making all these calls. How many calls a day do you have to make?
At least like one a minute if you're like just leaving voicemails.
Okay.
Sort of thing. So.
Were some people? I have medical bills I've never paid, and I'm being like, I had an allergic reaction to some food, and I freaked out,
and I had like all these hives and stuff, and I was sweating and breathing really heavy, and I went to Providence Hospital. I sat in the emergency room for an hour and a half. They saw me for 5 minutes. They were like, you got, which this is probably a politically incorrect term, but they called it a Chinese food syndrome or something like that. Like, apparently, like,
wait, was it was it Chinese food syndrome or was it Chinese food syndrome?
Syndrome.
Was it Chinese food syndrome or Chinese food syndrome?
What are you saying? What
is... One is a little more racist.
Oh, I see. I don't know. I feel like both of them are politically incorrect, probably.
Like, if, I don't know, if there's just, like, some worm that's associated with Chinese no. food, well, and they're like, oh, you got Chinese food syndrome.
No. What it is apparently a lot of Asian restaurants use MSG, which is, like,
I've heard of that, yes.
Yeah, which is, like, a
it's additive, an additive
of some kind. It's supposed to bring
flavor out flavor. Additive.
Yeah, really intensify flavor. And I went to this place, apparently they used a lot of it, and I got really, you know, sick and freaked out. And the doctor, who was beautiful, she goes, yeah, you got Chinese food syndrome. It's probably not syndrome. Syndrome doesn't, it can't be the right word. That sounds awful. It sounds really bad. And I was like, well, that's, I thought it was like, that's probably an offensive
thing. No, I think it's Chinese food syndrome.
God, so confused.
Do you understand the difference between, like, saying that it's a disease associated with a certain type of food?
Well, first of all, it's not a disease.
What it's something that it's a reaction caused by a certain type of food.
Yeah.
Not a food syndrome that's common in China.
Oh, like, okay, yes, you know yes. I understand what you're saying. Yes, okay. Compelling radio! anyways... They charged me $600, and it was, I thought it was ridiculous, you know, and
the worst part,
and so I just
no
didn't.
Fortune cookie.
How did you win the contest?
That's not the joke that won the competition.
You're gonna get the, you will use that
in that voice. I will do it in your voice.
You can't. You do a terrible impression of me. But they charged me $600 and I never paid it, and now I have to go to a claims court. Because I thought that was a ridiculous amount of money to have to pay for nothing. But, so you start doing clerical work at these.
Yeah. A lot of strong personalities at that office. You know,
yeah.
A lot of brassy people.
With it, like everyone's kind of like. The, like, that kind of job has just beat them down a little bit?
No, like, a lot of people, like, really upbeat, like, yeah, always closing. Gotta be closing, bro. Like, that sort of
like
thing.
They're in Glengarry, Glen Ross?
Raise those quotas, you know, sort of thing. Like, people just really passionate about what they do because there are people who...
Are they commissioned or something?
A lot of people, yeah, and then...
There's, like, a sales bill.
And, like, most of the supervisors were people who were, like, star collectors.
Oh,
and then they've moved on, you know. They move on to management positions.
God.
But...
That's gross.
Yeah, and there was such a, like... You're dealing... There's a lot of legal stuff happening, and a lot of... since there were, they were dealing with medical bills,
would
there's
they
a lot
collect
of, like,
debts? Like, would they just buy debt from, like, a hospital or something?
No, they would have deals with
They would
hospitals.
Work with the hospitals.
Yeah.
Because some companies just buy debt, and then they're like, you owe us $1 million.
No, they would work. They would collect the money, give it to the hospital.
Yeah, okay.
And then keep a little piece.
Yeah, okay.
But there's a lot of, like, HIPAA laws and stuff. Like, a lot of you just got to be very precise with your work. And then if you're not, if you mess up a little bit, then you get yelled at and you cry in the bathroom for a little bit. So I don't like getting yelled at.
I don't either. I'm sorry. I've been yelling at you a little bit. So, like, you have to be so precise because, why? If you're not, then they could lose the debt? Or
well, that's attorneys are always looking for
any reason.
Little, like, misstep that
yeah,
they
like,
could, like,
it's Wilbur
sue.
With an E, not with an I.
And there's, like, you know, there's laws in place that if a collection agency screws up, it's like $20,000 immediately to that person.
Because the practice can be so crooked or what?
There's a lot of laws. First with like healthcare information, being able to give that out to people and stuff, like who sees your medical records and stuff, and we have to deal with that because we're dealing in medical debt. And then there's also
you see their medical records.
Yeah, and then there's also like
so you're just like
there's also debt collection laws.
I like the idea of you calling me. Yeah, I'm looking at your file here. It seems like you had a quadruple bypass, and then
it's like you never paid for that credit up bum.
Yeah, that credit up bum you had.
That
I've heard that's a doozy, man. I do not envy you, but it is about $40,000. Like I don't. Like just some totally cavalier.
Well, because there's people who are like, well, I didn't pay that bill. And then you're forced to send them like an itemized statement like showing or like I didn't even go there. It's like here's all your information. Here's the visit. Here's what happened. So you have to see it too. And you have to redact a lot of stuff, like cross it out with Sharpies. And
oh, really?
Yeah. So there's a lot of that. And then debt collection laws about what you can say to people and like when you can call them and stuff. So both of those are very strict, and you have to abide by both of them.
You have a little Venn diagram area for you to work in, I guess.
And then if you call somebody after or before a certain time, stuff like that. Yeah, they can like. They can sue you, and it's like an automatic like $20,000 sort of thing.
Really?
Yeah. There's so many like laws protecting consumers. You wouldn't believe it by watching C-SPAN, but there are.
So you get enough of that, and you work in the clerical job, and I'm assuming that was probably kind of a boring keep to yourself kind of position.
Not really. A lot of answering phones and filing stuff and looking up medical records and crossing stuff out with Sharpies, making copies.
Tell me about the star collectors. Are they like really intense people that are like drinking coffee all the time?
Well, they're just like people. And it's it seems all different walks of life. Like people. And it's like it's not the same personality that gets results.
There
are some people that are very forceful, and then there are some people that, you know, lay on the charm. And then there's even like some really soft spoken people who just really nail it. And it's just it's all a technique thing. And it's
like comedy.
It's kind of what game do you have? It's like an art in anything, like any skill where what they're doing, like how is that person just doing handing that, over the money like that? By talking, it looks so easy, but it's...
I'm curious to see the guy who's all charged up, who's just kind of like, pay the bill! Like, what?
Well, then they would do things like, okay, guys, it's end of the month, we got a big close, and then they'd put up, like, the big collections, and there was... constant contests happening like
that's who, so gross
who like the biggest like, who get like brings bet. In the most dollars. There'd be like bingo, like, oh, if you bring in $1,000 you get a bingo square, and then like lots of different things. There was
it's competitive too.
Yeah,
that's,
and like the top collector would get like a bonus, and then there was
how
on
much
top
was
of
the
commission.
Bonus
it was pretty big, think.
Really?
Yeah.
Like in the thousands?
Maybe. Well, like the commissions would be, they'd get like a base pay of like 10 bucks an hour. And then like some people would be bringing in like $3,000 extra.
Wow.
Yeah.
There were
people who would bring in $1 million a year and they'd get to go to Vegas with the owner.
Ugh, God. Who wants to go to Vegas with that? That's so sick that this guy owns a business that is recovering people's money like for the procedures and care they couldn't afford. And then he takes his best employee to Vegas to pump it into somebody else's, like, it's disgusting. It's just, it's like,
Like, look at the serial numbers on your dollars every once in a while. See if they come back to you. It's gross. Oh, God. You did that for a bit. And where'd you go after there? Or how did that end?
I got a better job, finally. It was so hard to, like... It's a 9-to-5 job. Looking for another job when you have a 9-to-5 job is hard. Because you
really...
can't... And it was a place that was really, like, strict about sick days and calling in or getting time off. Like, you'd have to give, like, real advance notice. So if, like, you got a thing for an interview, you couldn't, like, just say, hey, can I take tomorrow off? Like, it had to be, like, 3 weeks' notice. And
what?
Yeah.
And you couldn't, like, if you called in sick, they would just be like, you're fired, that kind of thing?
No, they would they would lay on the smarm.
Oh, really? Like that's the worst. Oh, how was your day?
Are you
off?
Sure you can't come in? It's sort of stuff like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never got people who call in to work a lot. I have too much guilt for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I've called in to work... Not very often in my life. I had to this week actually, but
I was so afraid of like getting accused of like faking sick and not being able to prove it, like get a doctor's note. One time I did have a job interview. I didn't get the job. It was at a comic book company. It would have been amazing, but I didn't get the job.
That does sound like a good gift for you.
I called in. Are they going to be... they're not going to be listening. I called in.
Who?
My old employers.
Who cares?
Who? Exactly.
What are they going to... What are you going to not work for more now?
I called in and said I had to go home to my hometown. My father tried to kill himself. Here's the thing.
Come on, man. There's a gray area.
No, this is beautiful. All
but
right,
that's all,
because it's not like my grandma died, right? It's not saying like that's that. It's like show me a body or like, and that's such a fine. My dad.
Show me a body.
My dad.
I want a pamphlet from the funeral.
My dad attempted suicide, so it's enough for me to go and be with him. But he didn't die, so if somehow it comes up again that my dad's still alive, they're not like, all right, wait a minute. Or if for some chance they saw him in person, they wouldn't be like,
"Here's my
how was that suicide attempt?" Like, they would be not something that they would talk about. So I was like, all right.
I see it.
And it's like, I think it's something you could use multiple times.
You know how
right?
Yeah, probably.
After the fourth time, it's like dad who cried knife, but it's like
oh my God. Steven. That's how you know that was a terrible job. Like, if you had to do that to get a day off of work, at what point in this were you doing comedy? When did you start?
It was during the collection agency job.
Okay.
So,
what prompted you to do comedy?
I went to school for film and art, and like I was like a creative guy, mm-hmm. I guess. And I just...
You're very creative on stage too.
I just wasn't doing anything, you know? I was just kind of spinning my wheels. And
you were just working.
Yeah.
Which is the scariest thing.
And I wanted to I wanted some sort of motivation. And I was like thinking about all these fears, like to start any creative process, there's all these like fears, like what if I fail? And it's all stupid stuff. Yeah. But I thought to myself, stand-up was always the scariest of, like, the creative things.
Really?
That you could... Because unlike a band or even a play or a movie, like, you're hiding behind something. You know?
Are exposed as a comedian.
You're up there. It's just you. You're getting scrutinized for every word you say instantly.
Yeah.
And it terrifies me. I tried it. There was a stand-up night in college, and I tried it once.
Oh, so you had done it already before you...
I did it once.
What, do you remember your joke?
I was like, never... No. And I did something about Dance Dance Revolution. I know that. It was something about how the game berates you.
That's not like the worst observation for the very first time to do stand-up, though. It's really not.
I ended it. I fell to the floor and pantomimed like the game was doing me in the butt.
Funniest person in Portland, everyone.
But then, so, and that was like 2005, and then I didn't do it until
8 years later, 7 years later,
and it was just scary. So I figured if I went up and I did like 7 open mics, I gave that arbitrary number 7 open mics,
yeah,
then I could do anything. Like, I did that. I overcame the scariest thing. I could go, like, do a comic book, or I could go write a movie or something.
Throwing me in
the pool.
There was a litmus test for your will to be creative or something?
I just thought, like,
or something.
I had all these fears about doing anything creative that if I did the scariest thing and did it,
really,
then I could do anything.
Yeah. Do you feel that way now?
No. I just I just started doing stand up then. I just liked it.
Still like it. Seems like you have a lot of fun when you're up there. You okay?
Great.
You seem like so unhappy that you won last night.
Well, maybe off.
Tell me about it now. This is interesting. This is interesting.
Okay, here's the thing. I've been talking about this all day.
We'll talk about it one more time. You won't have to talk about it ever again. You just point when people want to ask you about it, be like, hey, listen to my episode of Help Wanted.
And they'll be like, I'd rather just not know.
Was that guy, is that that guy's radio show who used to be Portland's
When Ian won it, and then Nathan won it, and then you won it, it was like, of course.
Oh, you felt that way?
Like, they're the top... The toppest of dogs.
Were the seasoned ones.
Yeah. Of course they're going to win.
More seasoned, I guess. Like, I don't think I'm... I feel like I'm a baby in stand-up.
It was such an amazing show last night that I feel when I won it, it was like, what? there was a bit of shock.
A little bit, maybe.
It wasn't like...
But not... It's not like you did not have an amazing set last night.
Everyone had an amazing set.
Yeah, but somebody had to win, too, and somebody had to take last.
I just didn't think...
I'm sorry, Sean Jordan. I'm saying he took last.
No.
No. I thought Sean was actually... had a good shot at winning it, too, but there were so many good sets.
Yeah.
But, so you feel like people thought that...
Well, I just feel like it was a bit of a game changer. It was a bit of a
curveball a little bit.
Yeah, and... Like, I certainly didn't see it coming. I can say maybe before, like, during the prelims and the semis, I was like, I didn't deserve that. I feel like I did okay. Like, deserved moving on.
Okay, in the
to
first
the
two
finals. Yeah. And this one, I'm like, I don't know. It was a really strong night. But
it was. But
I feel great. It's cool. Really cool.
And it doesn't seem like you're not appreciating it, because I can tell that you do.
Like,
it's like you're... You seem to have some kind of mixed emotion about it, and I was wondering what it was.
Well, and I'm, like, upset that all these people, my favorite comics in Portland, didn't win because of me. I'm the reason people are sad. I'm the reason.
What the hell do you think they're going to do? They're not all going to call their work and be like, hey, my dad tried to kill himself. I'm not coming in today. You deserve it, man. You did really great last night.
Thank you.
This was really fun. We're definitely going to keep in Chinese food syndrome. Or Chinese
food. Chinese food.
How
are
you
syndrome?
Saying it? How are you saying
there's it? It's like the space between the words.
Is that actual grammar?
No, I'm just like
okay, that's why I was confused. Like, I thought you were making an actual, like, if a comma's here or it's not there.
No, just, it's how you say it. Like, is it a food syndrome in China, or is it a syndrome caused by Chinese food?
What happened to you yesterday? I got Chinese food syndrome. Or, and then how would you use it the other way? Like, that feels
What happened yesterday? I got Chinese food syndrome. What happened yesterday? I got Chinese food syndrome.
That sounds no different to me.
Is it related to the region or is it related to the type of food? That's what...
It's related to the restaurant I ate at. You know the problem with Chinese food syndrome, don't you?
You're just going to want to get more Chinese. You just want to get more syndrome later.
It's a dumb joke. All right. This could be the best or worst episode we've ever had. We'll see. I was very happy to have you, Stephen Wilbur. Please plug your Twitter or your Vine, any of that stuff you want to plug again, or shows you got coming up.
My at Wilbur with an E.
Yeah.
You can also find me on Vine. I've got a Funny Over Everything at the Hollywood Theater August 8th.
Yep, that's gonna
very
be
excited to be on that one
with Dave Ross and Barbara Gray, which will be really fun. Sean doesn't want you in it anymore now that you won.
Oh.
No, that's not true. But Dave Ross from the Sketch Group Women and Drunk History, and Barbara Gray, who I think was on Craig Ferguson recently or something like that.
And got texted by that guy and responded in All-Star by Smash
Mouth. That was a great thing. But you can catch Steven there. I will be on that show as well at the Hollywood Theater. It's 8 o'clock August 8th. If you want to come, you can. I can't tell people to go to the shows or go to your Twitter handle. We have to be like, if you want to learn more, I say this every week, but it really makes me mad that I can't just be like, just come to the show, but they won't let me say that.
I say come to the show?
No, you can't. But if I said, you know what? I go to Stephen Wilbur's Vine all the time, and I think it's fantastic. More people should check that out if they want to. And then you would say something like, hey,
consent culture's a really great thing.
Yeah.
That sounded sarcastic, and I didn't mean it to sound because it is a really great thing.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. If you so choose to, you can follow me on Twitter at Syrup Mountain, and ShaneIsAComedian.com is my website. We thank you all for listening. Let's all go out for Chinese food syndrome. Thanks for listening.
'Alright, you are listening to KXRY Portland X-Ray.FM 91.1 in East Portland. What you just heard was Help Wanted with Shane Torres with Stephen Wilbur. Up next, we have the Tom Hartman program bringing you up to the 3 o'clock hour. So keep it here on X-Ray FM.
Same old way, leaving me.